Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
For the rest of his tenure, he covers this up. And the press let him get away with it, which is really just a function of partisan politics. It has nothing to do with science, which is and the irony here is that he became synonymous with science while he was denying it the entire time.
Yeah, that's Matt Taibbi. It's so funny because I followed him for many, many years, writing about climate change in Rolling Stone, scaring people, and boy, COVID and the Twitter files really turned him around on a lot of this stuff, and this was an interesting hearing today. It just makes me angry when I have all this come up again, and you know, the masking, the way that my daughter was affected when she was in kindergarten. Drew Holden is back with us, managing editor at American Compass. He has written a series of six articles detailing all the nonsense that went on during the lockdowns. It's a COVID autopsy, if you will. Drew, welcome back. How are you? I hope you're not as pissed off as I am after seeing all this kind of come to the surface again, because it's just utterly ridiculous. And why this is partisan? Why is this partisan? Everyone should want to know the answers to this.
You know, Mark, I've been wondering the same thing. I have been incensed all day, and I'm not a particularly punchy, smash mouth, you know, like fired up kind of guy. I'll be honest, I'm pretty milquetoast, pretty even keel usually. And I have just been like, I want to put my hand through a wall.
Yes.
Watching this hearing, and also I think more than anything, watching the same media who displayed zero intellectual curiosity about anything that Fauci was doing, about any of the criticisms of him, now sit by silently, unperturbed, unbothered, uninterested in this hearing, and the fact that Fauci is still trying to cover up what might be the origin of COVID. It is, I don't have words that I can say, I think, on the airwaves.
I don't either. I really don't either. And I cannot believe that, you know, our memories should be, I think short enough to remember all this nonsense that went on. And you've chronicled it extremely well. I mentioned David Zweig earlier because David wrote a book on this called An Abundance of Caution. That didn't even get nearly enough attention as it probably should have. Your writing is not getting as much attention. I don't understand why the mask up crowd and the people who are so fearful of all this. And look, I've said this many times, the beginning of the pandemic, the first 2 months, we were in kind of never land. We didn't know. President Trump didn't know. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of things that were unknown, but they became known relatively quickly, and they weren't really expressed to the public in that same way. And then the focus that you've had, I know, is on the media and the lackadaisical. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even know what the word would be. I say this in an embarrassed way, so don't misinterpret me. I was trained as a journalist at the University of Missouri Journalism School, but I was trained to be skeptical and to ask questions and not accept the experts. And we went in the complete opposite direction in the legacy media with COVID.
Yeah. And, you know, the word that I think sticks in my mind is gullible. right? And they're gullible for all sorts of reasons. Some of it is a deference to liberal experts. Some of it is a class thing. I think some of it is an educational thing. But to me, it's, you know, we went from the institution of the media, at least once upon a time, being the sort of thing that was constitutionally enshrined to hold power to account and to fight for facts and to fight for information and to fight government, to fight powerful people, to fight, you know, the corporate interests and all sorts of other things. And instead, we've shifted to essentially the legacy media being water carriers for the most powerful man perhaps in the world amid a global pandemic. And it's just I wasn't trained as a journalist, I got to tell you. But it's
You're lucky.
Unthinkable. maybe this is why I'm so endeared to the industry. Like, this is why I carry around a copy of The Atlantic with me at all times, because I wasn't trained. And so it's not quite as horrifying as it probably is for you. But it's unthinkable, right? That there is no pursuit of truth and honesty that could lead you in the direction that the legacy media was led to when it came to Fauci.
So when I sat here, and well, I wasn't even here, I was in my studio at home during the summer of 2020, and as we got closer to August and my daughter was going to be starting kindergarten, I unveiled what I called the Mark Reardon plan to the superintendent of my school district, Rockwood. And I said, get these kids, these young kids, there is no reason. I mean, I even said, you want to do something with these high school kids, which that was a bad idea too, but these young kids are not at risk. And you had the teachers union. I remember seeing teachers in Detroit, Drew, you probably remember this, holding signs, you're going to kill our teachers, right? Randy Weingarten was despicable in all of this. So this is very near and dear to my heart because of what my daughter went through. And we're very lucky in Missouri because it wasn't as bad as the East Coast or the West Coast. And I feel very fortunate for that. But it was still horrific for these kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about the teachers, the teachers unions and kind of teachers more broadly being at the heart of this. I remember in late 2020, so this is after the first wave, this is when schools are like considering opening up. And the fact that it had to even be considered was insane. The teachers union in New York City had a die-in where the way that some of the climate change protesters do, they like lie down in the street. They had written their wills and the media just picks it up and runs with it. The teachers are writing their wills because they're going to have to go back to teaching at school during the pandemic. And it's just so, so preposterous, right? And it's like, you know, the media is at their best. It is a lens through which to figure out what to take seriously and what to treat with a little bit of skepticism. And all of that went out the window during COVID. And I think all of that went out the window with the person of Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, so much. There's so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. But Drew Holden is here. He's written about this, and he did a 6-part series on some of the failures. I know that one of those was on, and this is something he was asked, and he wasn't going to answer today. Maybe this is even something that I can laugh about because it's so comical. The fabrication of social distancing rules. Just grabbed out of thin air, right?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it was very funny because there was no substantial evidence provided when it first went into account. And then at a hearing where I think it was the Senate Health Committee, maybe Fauci said, oh, well, you know, the number just kind of appeared. Right. Like, you were the guy who made the rule.
Right.
You were the guy who went around to all the states and all the municipalities and said, this is what you have to do. Like, you are the inventor of this thing. He's like, oh, yeah, it just kind of showed up one day. And like that was what governed how many people you could have at your bar or your restaurant. That governed how many kids could be in a classroom. That governed so much of life for so many months during COVID, and it was all contrived.
Did you hear Bertie Moreno today in that hearing from Ohio?
I did.
Let me play a little of him because I thought he was really good.
Sell them all, run for office, run for the United States Senate. Here I am sitting in front of you 6 years later saying, who the f*** do you think you were for doing that? It is a total disgrace what you did to this country. And if my Democrat colleagues are standing there defending you, I hope the voters of the United States of America watch the clips of every one of you doting on a guy who was more interested in being a celebrity than saving American people.
I thought Bernie was great on that. Everything he said there is true. And why this continues to be something that is pretty much ignored by the media. Now they'll be forced to cover some of it today. But they were so part and parcel to this that they don't really, I think, even care. And they just write this off as conspiracy or whatever. I don't even really know. Why is John Fetterman the only guy saying, yeah, you know what, Fauci, we got some questions for you. None of the other members, all the Democrats gave their speeches about how horrible the Republicans are in dredging all this stuff up. That's essentially what we got today from the Democrat Party.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And it's so, repellent and it's so shameful that is being overlooked. I think Moreno is a great person to be talking about it, particularly because he was someone who ran a small business during COVID, right? Like he was at the front lines of the harm and the damage of all of that. And so like for him, I can't imagine having, you know, my life destroyed in the way that his was.
You know, at a certain point, I'm going to tell my daughter, you know, a little bit more about all this. She's 11 now, and she certainly remembers some of it. But when we tell people, how are we going to tell people in the future? Yeah, we tried to stop people from going to beaches. There were people in Central Park
yep.
that were yelling and screaming at other people who were running and cycling without masks on. And there were people that would shout them down because of that. I mean, some of the insanity.
Yes.
And I just wonder if any of those people.
Do you remember the Grim Reaper walking around the Florida beaches?
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
Do you think any of those people ever had second thoughts about that? Because, look, I can admit, I've admitted even today that I was, you know, tricked, I think, on the vaccine to believe certain things that weren't true. And I've apologized for that. I deeply regret some of the things I said in June of 2021. But, you know, I think what Bernie Moreno and some of the other people were asking, and you weren't going to get this because he was going to take the fifth. Dr. Fauci, do you even think, do you ever once think about anything outside of your narcissism and celebrity and the effect that this all had on kids? Mind you, people died. We know that. But it was older Americans, many with comorbidities. It was pretty clear mm-hmm. that if you were 70 or under during this pandemic, you were pretty much okay.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. You know, you talk about your daughter, right? We knew from very, very early on in COVID that kids were safe from this disease. And so it became a question with the teachers and the teachers unions of who do we protect? Who ought we to be most focused on? Like, should it be a relatively minor threat to a bunch of adults, or should it be the well-being of the next generation across the country? And like the fact that has elided so much of the conversation, it did in the media then, it does now, is so shameful and so, just so horrific.
Can you guide people into your COVID autopsy if they want to read some of this, Drew?
Yeah, so it's all at my Substack. So if you go to drewholden.substack.com, if you search on Substack just for Holden Court, I've got all of them laid out on my homepage. The rest of them in the archives. It took me a really long time to get through all of them. So unfortunately, it's not in one coherent link because I had to write six pieces to try and get everything in. But folks can find it all there.
So, and by the way, I just want to ask about you personally, because I know you had undergone some cancer treatment in the past too. Are you doing well health-wise?
I am. I really appreciate you asking, Mark. I'm doing great. I'm 3 years into remission post-treatment.
Good.
I had a brain tumor. It was inoperable. I did chemo. I did radiation. And by the grace of God, I'm in a really good spot now.
Wow. That's amazing. And so they were able to shrink it just with the radiation and everything.
Yeah. It wasn't safe to do surgery. And so they put me on a heavy dose of chemo, a heavy dose of radiation. And by about halfway through the treatment, the tumor was almost fully removed.
That's
so I got
awesome.
Unbelievably, incredibly blessed, unbelievably lucky, a really good prognosis.
Wow.
And, you know, my body held up pretty well through all of it.
Good.
So,
God bless
again,
you,
by
Drew.
The grace of God,
thanks
very
for
lucky.
Doing all the work. I'm glad you're doing well. Thank you so much.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.